God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is the gospel reading from John chapter 8, where Jesus tells us that the truth shall make us free. You may be seated. Freedom. It's a message that we can all rally around. It's a message that we can all support. I certainly hope that it is, especially in a time where there are so many things that are anything but free. At the end of the movie Braveheart, the Scottish hero William Wallace, as he's being executed by the English, cries out, "Freedom!" The American patriot Patrick Henry said, "Give me freedom or give me liberty and give me death." Liberty is freedom. Our American Constitution enshrines certain inalienable rights for all who are citizens of our country, such as the freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion, which you are exercising right here this morning, among many other freedoms, as well as freedoms from certain things as well. There are many people today who are being held hostage in the Middle East who have lost all of these freedoms. We fervently pray that those freedoms would be restored to them. But far greater than any political freedom is the freedom that Christ gives. In Galatians, Paul tells us, "For freedom Christ has set us free." This is the very message of the Scriptures which was uncovered during the Reformation. The very message that we proclaim today and every single day is that for freedom Christ has set you free. Through faith in Christ, before God, we are free, saved by God's grace alone, for the sake of Christ alone, and through faith alone. That's true freedom. In Jesus, we are free from the guilt of sin and free from the power of death to destroy us. And we're free to live out those two greatest of all commandments, that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind. And the second is that we would love our neighbors as ourselves. We're free to do those things. But how do we daily live in this freedom as Christians? How do we avoid falling back into the slavery that Jesus says we have been brought out of by his death and resurrection? How will our faith in Christ's promise be sustained in this life? These are all questions that John addresses through Jesus' words in today's gospel from John 8. Jesus allows us to listen in on this extended conversation between he and the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people. And as a result of Jesus' word, many people came to believe in him. That's the message of the Reformation. That the word has power, power to transform, power to bring people to belief through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the message that Luther fought to have heard by those who were there in the 16th century, and the message that he fought for us to hear as well. In the word, Jesus gives real freedom. That's the message that we have today and every day. And Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples." That word abide, it means to remain in, to sit down in, to rely on, and to live in. So Jesus says, if you abide in my word, if you live in, if you abide in it, if you sit down in it, if you rely on it, then you are my disciples. You see, the word of God is what works faith in a person. Paul says it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But faith not only originates in the word, The Word of God also is what keeps faith alive. Faith always comes from the outside in. So for faith to stay alive, not just to be strong or growing, but for it to really stay alive, we must abide in the Word of God. And the Word of God must abide in us, to dwell within us. Scripture says that as well. Because the longer that a person who has been brought to faith in Jesus stays away from the Word, the weaker that faith is going to become. And eventually, if that faith is not nourished again by the Word, it's going to die. The Word of God is the food of faith. It's the air that faith breathes. It's the fuel that faith burns. Without the Word constantly nourishing and sustaining faith, our faith is going to die. There is no other way. Man does not live by bread alone, Jesus says, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Isaiah also reminds us, "For as the rain and the snow came down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." The church is sustained. The church is given life and freedom through the word and through the word alone. We know this. That's why the Lutheran Church is called the Church of the Bible. Sola Scriptura. By Scripture alone. It's one of our foundational Reformation principles. So with that in mind, how many of you regularly read your Bible? I have to admit that I, not as much as I should either. If our sustenance comes from the Word, though, we should regularly be immersed in that Word. The devil himself certainly knows that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why he works so hard to keep people from the Word. That's why he tries so hard to keep pastors from doing their best to bring the Word of God to his people. And that's why the devil works so hard to divide people from their pastors as well. Whatever it takes, the devil is constantly trying to get us away from the Word of God, because he knows that that is where the freedom is. Without the Word of God, we will always remain slaves to sin. Which is why Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." Luther wrote about lots of things in the Holy Scriptures, and as he wrote about this particular passage, Luther says, "The true disciples remain in the Word of God, saying, 'I am helpless. May God help me.' It all rests in his hands. He promised and said, 'Just cling to the word and I will uphold you.' When you find yourself in any extremity or distress, you will learn to continue in God's word. This will liberate you and make you a true disciple. Truth does not consist merely in hearing Christ, but also in believing in your heart and in experiencing with your heart that Christ wants to set you free." Christ wants to set you free. Christ, who is the Word himself, wants you to be free. He does not want you to be in slavery to sin. So Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But the Jews respond to Jesus and they say, "We are offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Never enslaved to anyone? It's an odd thing to say. regardless of the slavery that they endured in the past. Right then and there, they were slaves to the Roman Empire. And that wasn't even the full story, because they didn't see their need for the Word of God. And because they didn't see that need, they were slaves to sin, a slavery far worse than any other that they had ever experienced. But before we look down on them with too much judgment, have you ever heard it said, "I don't have to come to Bible class. I learned all of that years ago in confirmation"? This is one of the devil's favorite tricks, to convince us that we really don't need to know all that much about the Word of God. Or maybe the claim is this, that I was born a Lutheran, I was confirmed a Lutheran, married in the Lutheran Church, and I'm going to be buried as a Lutheran. Those are all great things. I'm happy for that person, but a valid question to ask in that situation would be this: don't you think that God might still have something to teach you? Or don't you think that God might have generous gifts that He desires to give to you if you were regularly to abide in His Word and in His house? Dear friends in Christ, when we think that we've learned all that we need to know years ago and we have no more need to study the Word of God, as though God had nothing more to teach us, we're actually despising that very Word of God that He has given to us. When we hear a preacher, and like the audience at a movie, judge the sermon and the worship on how well it entertains us, instead of hungering and thirsting for a deeper understanding of the Word of God, what we're really doing is we're despising that Word. Here, Jesus exposes the real problem for us. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." That speaks to every single one of us. None of us is left out. If you've sinned, then you are a slave to sin, and sin is your master. Can you free yourself? Of course you can't. Have you ever known someone who has stopped sinning? If you do, I'd like to be introduced to them. Anyone who claims that they've stopped sinning is already full of the sin of pride and self-worship, and then ironically is still a slave to sin. That's why Jesus invites us to confess our slavery to sin, so that His Word can bring His freedom. And with confession, Jesus also rouses in us a hunger for the Word. For in the Word, we come to know the truth. And knowing the truth in the Word is what sets us free. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Free from sin, free from fear, free from death, free from slavery. Brothers and sisters, the Word was written down in the Scriptures not to give us a list of do's and don'ts. The Scriptures are given to us to unfold the precious gift that God gives to us in Jesus, the Son of God in human flesh, crucified and raised from the dead for us. The Bible is all about Jesus. It's all about what God gives to us in Him. It's His book. It's His words. And His Spirit inspired it from the very first words of Genesis to the very last amen of Revelation. This book preaches into our hearts the truth that is Jesus. And it is this truth that kindles faith and keeps it alive. And the truth that is Jesus is the truth that's heard from the cross. the true word of forgiveness and of freedom. Jesus speaks it on every single page of Scripture. He alone can speak it because He alone carried the sin of the world, even the sin of not listening to Him and not wanting to hear what He has to say. He carried it all, and it's all forgiven. To know that truth, then, is to be set free from slavery. Free from our disregard of the word, freed to listen, to love, to treasure, and to keep His word. Peter says, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." The word is the truth that sets you free. And that word lasts forever. And that word makes you last forever. This is why we celebrate today. This is why we have a special Reformation service. Not just to remember something that happened over 500 years ago, but so that God's word can do what it does in our lives and in our hearts right now. So that we are transformed by the word. So that our churches are pulled back into the word of God. And so that we hear again the Son say to us, "Go in peace, you are free." Free to live in Christ, and free to live for others. Free from the power of sin and from the power of death to destroy us. Free from the condemnation of the law. Free to live joyfully as sons and daughters of God. Free to live in His house forever. Freedom in Christ is the promise that you've been given. It's the life that you're blessed to live. St. Paul says to us again in Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." So abide. Truly abide. Rest in, remain in, sit down in, rely on, and live in, abide, truly abide in the word of Jesus. Only His word brings freedom and life. For Christ has broken all of the power that enslaves us. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.